All right, welcome to Brighteon Broadcast News for Thursday, August 24th, 2023. Mike Adams here. Thank you for joining me today. We've got a lot of breaking news to cover. Of course, Yevgeny Prigozhin has been reported killed, shot out of the sky, along with 9 or 10 of his colleagues. Apparently, his private jet was shot down, and there's a lot of speculation about who shot it down and for what purpose, and how the West is going to try to exploit that situation to cause instability in Russia. I've got a special report about that coming up here in just a few minutes. Also, there is a massive FEMA cover-up in Lahaina, as you may be aware, but new details have emerged. Today, we're going to talk about that. Some Maui survivors had to ignore local government to stay alive. That's the headline from DailyCaller.com. We're going to get into that article and also a special report because I was on the Alex Jones Show yesterday with Ann Vandersteel and Michael Yan, who were the co-hosts, and also Lieutenant Colonel Doc Pete Chambers was there in the studio with his dog, mind you, by the way, which is actually how I got interested in military dogs. It was by meeting his dog. So interesting backstory there. But while I was a guest on the show, another guest came on from Maui, a woman who joined and was talking about how FEMA was interdicting food supplies that were being gathered and distributed by the citizens of Hawaii. FEMA was actually confiscating those supplies and depriving the citizens of those supplies. So we've got a special report coming up on that that I think you'll find, you know, not surprising, but definitely very disturbing. And then, of course, in other breaking news today, we had the Republican debate and Vivek Ramaswamy at the GOP debate. He declared, "I am the only candidate on the stage that is not bought and paid for." And he also said that climate change was a total hoax, which is absolutely true. Now, of course, Trump was not present at the debate because, well, you know, he's been arrested, indicted, and I guess jailed in Fulton County, Georgia, which is just proving that America has become a banana republic when they're jailing people for committing no crimes whatsoever, jailing former presidents for their speech. When Trump told the truth in questioning the outcome of the rigged election, they throw him in jail, along with Rudy Giuliani and I think Sidney Powell and quite a few other people who have also been indicted by this kangaroo court, you know, banana republic, whatever it is. So I've got a special report coming up on that as well. We're going to get to all those special reports. I've got some other breaking news and a little video clip and some things to share with you before we get to those special reports. First of all, wanted to let you know if the podcast sounds a little different today, it's because I now have the new hardware that I was talking about. So I'm running this podcast on a Rodecaster from Rode, R-O-D-E. Maybe it's called Rode or Rode, I don't know, but that's what I'm recording on today. So I don't know if it sounds better or worse, but I was really encouraged to get some improved hardware after the Michael Jackson song fail attempt that happened the other day with when my editor also played a little editing trick on me, as I explained yesterday. Ha ha. Everybody thought that was super funny, except me. But so I decided I've got to upgrade into something where I can do some multi-track audio, and man, I'm going to be dangerous now because I have got effects and I've got, I've got a multi-track sequencer coming as well. So I'm going to be able to do actually multi-track satire coming up where I will do a different kind of voices for some multi-track comedy and satire and some crazy kind of stuff. So even this little Rode podcaster thing has got voices that you can just pop in, like I can just pop this button here
and then talking at a different pitch, see what that sounds like.
So instead of just doing my normal, you know, South Park thing, "Oh my God, what are you guys gonna do?" I guess I could try the pitch shifter on that and see how that goes.
"Oh my God, what are you guys gonna do? You can't bank here because you don't support child mutilations," you know.
But whatever, we can play around. I'm not gonna overuse the effects, so don't worry. But I'm just telling you, I'm going to up my game. And I got a little embarrassed the other day. And I think some hardware limitations and also some sequencing limitations. And there's a lot of new gear today that sounds pretty darn good. And so I'm also going to give you some voice effects. And, you know, we'll do a little bit of beatboxing and some music or whatever. I've got, like, reverb here. See? And with the reverb, you know, we can do beatboxing and we can do trumpets and things like that. I mean, whatever. You can play around and do different voice effects and different echoes and things like that. We'll bring some of that in later where it is appropriate. I'm not going to bore you. We're running through the effects board, but just letting you know. Okay. Also, by the way, I just want to let you know, I did have a conversation with Karen Kingston today, and we were able to talk for, I don't know, 20 minutes or something. And she's fine. She's safe. She's healthy. She sounded good. And she and I had a great conversation about, you know, a lot of things, and she has said she wants to come on and do an interview with me and help kind of clarify everything that happened and some of the public reaction and things that, you know, I don't know, articles and things that happened that were a little bit surprising and what all just happened in all that. And so I said, great, I'm totally open to that. I think that's a great idea. And we're going to schedule a time to get Karen on at her convenience and just have a conversation about lots of interesting things. And just wanted you to know she is safe. And she, like I said, she's not back in the United States yet, but I understand she's on her way back. And I'm not going to go into any more details because I promised her the conversation would be confidential, but whatever she wants to share publicly coming up, she will be able to do that. And hopefully we'll bring that interview to you in the next, I don't know, week or so, or whatever it happens to be. Okay, also wanted to let you know, we have a new line of really fascinating, fun, delicious products at the Health Ranger store. And they are single-serving pack powders that you blend into water. And the first one is called Kombucha Probiotics Plus Pomegranate Powder. And it's available now. You can go to healthrangerstore.com and search on the word pomegranate, and you can find this. And it is, I mean, it's really delicious. And unlike the other garbage single serving drink powders that you find on the marketplace, they're full of maltodextrin and sugar and crap, or aspartame or whatever, ours is, of course, laboratory tested. And the ingredients are just kombucha powder, pomegranate juice powder, non-GMO citric acid, right? So we made sure it's all non-GMO, and then sodium bicarbonate, which is also good for you, baking soda. And then the Bacillus coagulans, which is the probiotics. That's it. There's no maltodextrin, no filler, no garbage, no sugar, nothing like that. Now, we could not get this certified organic because, of course, kombucha is not an agricultural product. Anyway, no one's spraying pesticides on kombucha. And pomegranate traditionally doesn't use. I mean, pomegranate grows out in the desert. You know, they typically don't spray pomegranate bushes, or I don't know if you could call it a small tree, but you know, pomegranates, come on, you don't have to spray those. So, you know, pomegranate fruits, you know, it's not like strawberries that you have to just inundate it with pesticides. So this one is not organic. However, it is laboratory tested, including tested for glyphosate. So we can assure you there are not any kind of crazy levels of heavy metals or glyphosate or microbiology on this. So check it out, healthrangerstore.com. And we have a line of these single serving drink powders that are super clean in their ingredients and super delicious. And of course, give you outstanding nutrition. So check them out. They're coming soon. And also a reminder, the new knives that I mentioned will be available beginning on the Labor Day sale event starting next Thursday, I believe. And we're getting all that lined up right now. These are the new, just heavy-duty, hardcore, corrosion-resistant knives that I co-designed, and they're also co-branded with a new brand called Health Ranger Survival Gear, HRSG. And we're going to be branding some products, well, very few products, actually, with that, because there's not a lot out there that I'm willing to put my name on, because most of the survival gear products out there are, you know, not that rugged and mostly made in China, but not these knives. These are made in Arizona. Anyway, I'll bring you more news on those when that is available. All right, next I want to play a little, I don't know, a minute or two of this RFK Jr. video where he's saying what I've said for many years. He's talking about how the CIA conducted essentially medical or bioweapons experiments on Americans for millions of Americans over the last few decades, and that the CIA has done this over 200 times. There are over 200 experiments of biological weapons that have been conducted on the American people. And of course, you know, we've documented that in the History of Medical Experimentation article series on Natural News. And that was from many years ago, actually, like 7 or 8 years ago, we published that list. Now, RFK Jr., he's also very much aware of all of this, and he's going public with this information and warning everybody that, you know, not only was SARS-CoV-2 a bioweapon and the vaccines are a bioweapon, but the CIA is running bioweapons labs and they have more bioweapons that they can release at any time, and they're probably about to do so. So listen to RFK Jr. explain this overall concept in his own words.
So, you know, I look back on, in my new book, I talk about the history of the U.S. bioweapons program. And from the beginning, the CIA was running the bioweapons program. Why? Because we didn't have a bioweapons program after World War II. And the CIA's first operation was called Operation Paperclip. And it was an operation to get all the bioweapons and nuclear and chemical scientists out of Germany and Japan, where they had an extensive bioweapons program. The Japanese had a horrendous program where they were doing, they did live vivisections on 3,000 people. You know, they killed them all during the operation, removing their infected organs while they were alive with no anesthesia. And these were horrible, horrible scientists. The CIA elevated them, brought them over to Fort Detrick, downloaded them, and made them the heads of hospital systems and pharmaceutical companies in Japan, and continued to work with them, and they brought all the German scientists over here. And then they did all these experiments unwittingly on the American public. They sprayed toxins in National Airport. They sprayed them in the Pentagon air conditioning system. They put poison water in NIH. They put light bulbs filled with bacteria that they broke on the grates and contaminated the New York City subway system. Some of those microbes still in the subway today. They did aerial dosing, and from ships of about 60 million Americans. They dosed San Francisco, Los Angeles, New York, Virginia, Norfolk, Virginia. All of the seaside towns were dosed from the air, and a lot of the Midwestern cities were also dosed. They're all unwitting. They did 200 outdoor tests on Americans unwitting. And they developed bioweapons that by 1969 had a nuclear equivalent. They could kill people at 29 cents per death, according to a CIA study, which they're bragging about.
So there you go. I want to credit the Liberty Daily for finding that video, and RFK Jr., give him the honors for having the courage to tell the truth about that. You know, what he just explained there with Operation Paperclip and how the U.S. government brought the worst, just the most horrific scientists carrying out crimes against humanity, brought them to the United States, gave them new identities and new passports. That's under Operation Paperclip. And that was German scientists, Japanese scientists, and a few others, by the way, from the Third Reich, by the way. And then those people began to run, you know, pharmaceutical companies, but also they got into the NIH and NASA. So NASA has been run by Nazis actually since the 1950s, you know, if not maybe the late 1940s. I don't know what year NASA officially came into existence, but the Apollo rockets were all propelled by Nazi technology that was from the V2 rocket tech, by the way. So, you know, the American space program is a Nazi program, has always been. And the American pharmaceutical technology was transferred from, of course, IG Farben, which was the Nazi pharma, you know, Zyklon B, mass murder, Holocaust of the Jews program that was run by Adolf Hitler and the Third Reich. And that, now, when you understand that, you understand why Big Pharma is now in the business of mass murder and genocide against humanity. All they've really done is they've expanded from just trying to murder people of one ethnicity, the Jews, to people of every ethnicity, all humans. And now they're trying to carry out a Holocaust that's 1,000 times larger than the original Holocaust. So when RFK Jr. talks about these things, he's not weaving fiction. He is giving you the historical truth about what humanity has endured, what we have been through. And you know, the horrors in the name of science to infect people with biological weapons and then to study them and then to remove their organs while they're still alive and so on. I mean, this actually happened. And it still happens in certain places around the world, by the way. The mainstream media would call all of that a conspiracy theory because the mainstream media is, of course, funded by pharma, which is carrying out these crimes against humanity. So the media is complicit in the cover-up of massive crimes against humanity, Holocaust-level crimes that are being carried out today. For example, the vaccine industry is now, through COVID, responsible for murdering at least 20 million human beings around the world, which is over 3 times larger than the number of Jews murdered by the Third Reich during the Holocaust. Think about that. So we now have at least 3 Holocaust-scale mass murder events, or I should say one event of 3 times the scale that has taken place since COVID. And this has all been done by the bioweapons industry, which is pretending to be a vaccine industry. And that's what RFK Jr. is talking about, and he's exactly correct. And I want to point out something here. You know, Donald J. Trump on the Republican side looks like he's going to get the nomination, even if he's nominated while he's in jail. I mean, even if he has to win in jail. And, you know, indeed, Trump may be the only hope to dismantle the deep state and save the Constitutional Republic of America. But that said, Trump could never say what RFK Jr. just said in that video. Trump could never say it. For whatever reason, Trump doesn't understand the dangers of Big Pharma. He's, you know, he's too close to Pfizer, too close to Operation Warp Speed. And he has never denounced Operation Warp Speed or the vaccine, by the way, the COVID vaccine, the mRNA. Trump is incapable, it seems, of telling the truth about the pharmaceutical industry. And in fact, you know, I mentioned yesterday Purdue Pharma and OxyContin and the Sackler family. And even to this day, a lot of the Sackler family members are really, they're friends, social friends with Trump family members. The Trump family, you know, still has, I don't know, social ties, at least to a lot of people in pharma. And that concerns me. Of course, I'm way more concerned about America being plunged into total lawlessness and chaos, and that's why I absolutely support Trump for the nomination of the Republican Party, and that's why I would absolutely, you know, vote for Trump, as I already did before. But I would also vote for RFK Jr. if he were to get the nomination on the Democrat side, and I hope he does get the nomination on the Democrat side, because RFK is able to tell the truth in a way that I don't think Trump can ever do. Trump he's had years to try to overcome, you know, this dark history of his involvement with Pfizer, which funded his, what was it, his swear-in campaign in January of 2017. That was a Pfizer-funded event, by the way. And then Pfizer made all these, you know, tens of billions of dollars from Operation Warp Speed. There's just too many close ties between Trump and pharma for comfort. It's not a reason. I mean, there are bigger issues, you know, admittedly, like, are we even going to have a constitutional republic remaining? You know, and Trump does need to get into the White House again and just dismantle the entire deep state. But, you know, wouldn't RFK Jr. also dismantle the deep state at this point? Wouldn't RFK take down the DOJ, the FBI, the CIA, if he could? I mean, the CIA murdered his uncle and his father, probably. So, frankly, this is why I say if either Donald J. Trump or RFK Jr. were to win the presidency, and I support both of those men for different reasons, if either one wins, then America wins. And then they go to war with the deep state and try to take down the deep state. Either way, because both of these men have been, you know, tormented and attacked and slandered and defamed, and all the horrible things that the CIA does against men of courage. And, you know, both of these men have tremendous courage. So right now, what you are witnessing, the disparaging of RFK Jr. and the criminal indictments against Donald J. Trump, this is just, it's just showing the pure evil of the Biden regime as it exists today and how they are completely lawless and desperate to do anything to stop Trump, in particular, from winning the 2024 election. But of course, they're also trying to stop RFK. Because, you know, if they would have a single debate, RFK would mop the floor with Joe Biden's diapers or something like that. I don't know what that would look like, but I wouldn't want to be close by. All right. Let's move on to the story. DailyCaller.com has a story, and here it is. Quote, only those who disobeyed survived. Some Maui survivors had to ignore local government to stay alive. Now, I tweeted out something the other day. And in fact, let me bring it up. I want to read the tweet to you because it got a lot of very positive response. Here it is. Quote, masks won't save you. At this point, the only thing that will save you is learning to think for yourself. The minute you do that, you will realize the masks, the jabs, the lockdowns, the social distancing, it's all an obedience test for the oblivious masses. And then I finish it up with this. Obedience is death. Resistance is survival. And that was, well, that was almost 2 days ago now. So then back to the Daily Caller headline, quote, only those who disobeyed survived. See, I mean, my tweet was saying exactly this. If you want to survive what's coming, you're going to need to resist the tyranny and not do what the authorities tell you to do, because they're going to tell you to take the jab. They're going to tell you to lock down, you know. And in the case of what happened in Maui or Maui, from the story, here it is. Residents encountered a gridlock caused by several Hawaiian Electric trucks that were replacing utility poles along the road to Highway 30. And received instructions from electricians to turn back into Lahaina. Some died in their cars, while others swerved around the barricade or used dirt roads to escape. So, and these were, you know, electric authorities that were telling them to turn around and drive back into Lahaina. A resident named Cole Millington said, quote, it made no sense what they were doing. They could see the sky was black. They could see the city was on fire. They could see the wind was still whipping everything around, but they were already starting to plant new power poles. Many residents could not escape the traffic and abandoned their cars to jump in the Pacific, in the ocean, making the gridlock even worse. So, in other words, the only road out of Lahaina, if you've ever been to Hawaii, you know there's pretty much one main road that goes around each island. It goes, you know, in and out of the towns. This road was barricaded. Only those who disobeyed survived. So Kim Cuevas Reyes, a resident who drove into the wrong lane to escape, said, quote, the gridlock would have left us there when the firestorm came. I would have had to tell my children to jump into the ocean as well and be boiled alive by the flames, or we would have just died from smoke inhalation and roasted in the car. The wildfires have burned 2,170 acres and so on. So Hawaiian Electric, which is, you know, another essentially government-run or government-regulated institution, another authority, Hawaiian Electric told people to take action that would cause them to burn to death in their cars. And this was on top of the fact that hundreds of children in Lahaina were burned to death in their homes in a mass government-run child sacrifice event, by the way. Think about that. And the lesson in all of this is very simple. If you do what authorities tell you to do, you will probably not survive. Again, the people who survived, what did they do? They went off-road. They went onto the dirt roads. Some of them swerved around the barricades. Some of them went into the opposite lane. I mean, you do what you have to do to survive. And if you just sit there and obey, let me bring in obey. If you just do that, you're dead. Because that's exactly what's coming. I mean, is it not obvious at this point? Now, I've got something else to play for you here, a video from a Canadian dairy farmer. And this comes off of Twitter, well, X now. And this video already has over 1.2 million views. This Canadian dairy farmer reached his quota, the tweet says, so the government of Canada makes him dump out the rest of his milk because of, you know, regulations. Canadian milk is $7 per liter this year, and they still make me dump 30,000 liters of milk once the quota is reached. This time I'm going public because I want you guys to see what's going on. That's what this dairy farmer says. So they're forcing him to destroy the milk. This is part of the destruction of the food supply, obviously, where farmers can produce more milk and make it more affordable for more people, which would bring down food inflation. These globalist-controlled governments like Canada are forcing farmers to destroy their food, in this case, the milk. So let's hear this farmer explain this in his own words.
Hey, guys, we're here at Give 'Em Go's Farm in southern Ontario. We milk about 260 cows. Right now, during the winter months, you milk quite a bit more milk because the feed is very consistent. And if you do a good job, you will produce quite a bit of milk. So, but right now, we're over our quota. It's regulated by the government and by the DFO. But the problem is what they don't understand. There's millions of people. Look at this milk running away. Because it's the end of the month. So tomorrow, I dump 30,000 liters of milk. And it breaks my heart. I will show you. By the way, this here, Canadian milk, is $7 a liter. When I go for my haircut, people say, wow, $7, Jerry, for a little bit of milk. I say, well, you have to go higher up. Because we have no say anymore as a dairy farmer on our own farm. Because they make us dump it. And no matter how we stand up, so this time I'm going public. I want the people to see the pain that us growers have. Of 365 days as a little boy, we grew up on a dairy farm. Came from Europe. Work, work, work. And here we are. This is what's happening.
All right, there you go. I don't know when that video was actually originally filmed. I don't know if it's recent or if it's, you know, a year old or what. But the principle is true that the corrupt government of Canada, run by Castro Trudeau, is in the business of destroying food. And so is the U.S. government. So, you know, some of the food industry scarcity, the engineered scarcity, is sabotage, you know, burning down food facilities or geoengineering, causing crop failures. But some of it's also just, you know, regulations. Oh, you produce too much milk. Dump it down the drain. Mm-hmm. You have too many cows. Oh, you can't have that. You know, they fart. Cow farts are, you know, going to destroy the planet, apparently. So going to have to cull your cows. Can't have too many of those running around. Oh, you have goats. Oh, you have chickens. Oh, yeah, not allowed. So it's a regulatory attack on the entire food infrastructure. And this is all by design. It's all part of the depopulation program. And if you think about it, almost everything we talk about these days is really about extermination of the human population. Even RFK Jr., his video there, what are the bioweapons programs focused on? Well, they're focused on either exterminating humans or exterminating the food supply in order to exterminate humans. You know, the bioweapons program, like Plum Island and going back decades, the research conducted by the U.S. government and the deep state has been about how to deploy biological weapons that will wipe out crops, that will mass kill the animals, the feed animals, or that will mass murder humans of specific ethnic groups in particular. And this research has been funded by the DOD. In fact, as I said the other day, the U.S. government, starting in the post-World War II era, all the money printing has just enabled increasing levels of evil to build more weapons against humanity and to build a more powerful deep state with the CIA and the other elements of it that have for decades run around the world destroying other nations, destroying their economies, assassinating their leaders, overthrowing their governments, causing chaos and hatred and wars and strife. And now all of those weapons have been turned against our own people. Those weapons have been turned inward into the United States to burn those children alive in Lahaina and to destroy the food supply in the Midwest and to punish the milk farmers in Canada, you know, for the Canadian government. All these weapons are now aimed at us. So every horrible thing that has happened to these other countries that are victims of the deep state operations, whether it's Panama or Libya or Somalia or the Sudan or Iraq or, you know, even Kuwait or whatever, Afghanistan, Syria, all those weapons are now being brought to bear against us. And you are living, as Doc Pete Chambers said on the Alex Jones show, you're living behind enemy lines now. You're behind the lines. You're in the war zone because CONUS, the continental United States, has been declared to be the zone of the battlefield of the U.S. government's war against its own people. And as part of that battle, they can use any weapons they want. There's nothing off limits. They can lie. They can cheat. They can rig elections. They can deploy biological weapons. They can burn down food facilities as they're doing. They can use weather weapons. They can burn children alive. They can set fires. They can use directed energy weapons. They can do anything they want. And that's exactly what they are doing. And they're going to use siege warfare against us to shut off the supply of food. They've done this with certain types of ammunition, such as ammo imported from other countries, you know, like toll ammo and whatever, or they've cut off the supply of primers for ammunition. They've outlawed the importation of certain types of firearms. This is siege warfare against the American people, and it's only going to accelerate. In fact, it's possible that the United States was actually engaged in the shooting down of Yevgeny Prigozhin's jet. I mean, it's possible. It's one of several possible explanations. We don't know yet what that is. But I want to go ahead and go to that report first and, you know, check the news headlines out there in alternative media and see what has come out since then. But it looks like Prigozhin has been killed, you know, the head of the Wagner force. And it looks like this is going to be exploited by the West to try to cause a revolt or a lot of unrest in Russia. So let's go to that report first. All right. Major breaking news on the geopolitical front. Yevgeny Prigozhin is reportedly dead. He's the leader of the Wagner Group that, of course, was a private military contractor group that was sort of like pseudo-military. And you know, they fought as part of the war between Russia and Ukraine. And then later on, I mean, just recently, Prigozhin led some kind of attempted coup or uprising against Putin. And it was very short-lived, by the way. It was over within 48 hours. And there was some kind of negotiation, some kind of settlement, and Prigozhin was allowed to stay out of jail, even though he had announced, some kind of effort to overthrow Putin. Now, it seems apparent that he was paid off by the CIA. He was paid off at least $1 billion from what we know in order to run that operation. There was an attempted CIA overthrow against Russia that failed. And Prigozhin collected, again, we think at least $1 billion, maybe more, could be as much as $5 billion. But at least $1 billion, and then that failed. Well, in the last, by the time you hear this, who knows, 12, 16 hours or so, it appears that Prigozhin's private jet was shot down north of Moscow. He and 10 passengers total, I believe, were reportedly killed. Now, this is a fast-moving story. So details could change, especially by the time you hear this. There may be a lot more that comes out. From what I know right now, at the moment I'm recording this, is that Prigozhin's name was listed on the manifest, and that jet was filmed falling out of the sky, apparently destroyed by something. We don't know if it's a missile, if it's an orbital laser weapon, or an onboard bomb, some kind of sabotage. We don't have those details yet. What we do know is that there were no survivors on that plane, and that it's reported that Prigozhin was one of the passengers, and his right-hand man, another guy, I don't recall his name, was also killed. It seems like it was the Prigozhin bosses that were on the plane. And again, the plane was shot down in Russian territory, or I'm guessing it was shot down. We're not entirely sure. So Let's assume, 99% chance Prigozhin has been killed. And it also seems very likely that this was intentional sabotage. Because from looking at the plane falling out of the sky, it looks like it had suffered some kind of explosion that had really ripped it apart. This did not look like some kind of simple, flight surface failure or engine failure or something, because, pilots are trained to glide the planes in and make an emergency landing and so on. And good pilots can also compensate for
a lot of things going wrong. Like, if you lose control of the rudder, for example, you can kind of steer the plane using the ailerons, you know, or vice versa. You know, there are things that you can do with the throttle and the pitch and the yaw and everything to control the plane. But that's not what happened. This plane falling out of the sky, in the videos at least that are attributed to be this plane had been, it was in pieces. You could clearly see it kind of tumbling in pieces as if the fuselage had been blown apart or some other major structural failure had happened and the wings were no longer attached to the fuselage and so on. So this thing tumbled out of the sky in pieces. And whoever was in that plane, their survival would be about very close to 0% chance unless they had parachutes and were watching an episode of Mission Impossible and they bail out of the plane and rescue the babe and save the world. But that's not what happened. They tumbled out of the sky and died. So then the question becomes, who destroyed the plane? And maybe by the time you hear this, there will be additional facts that have been released that might help answer that question. But based on what I know right now, which admittedly is fairly early information, so this may change, don't hold me to this, but there are only really three possibilities that I can think of. That's a ground-to-air missile launched by the Russian military. That's possibility number one. Possibility number two is onboard sabotage. Somebody put a bomb on the plane. That could have been done by the Russian military, or by Putin, or by the West. Could have been a CIA operation. And then the third possibility is some kind of exotic weapon, maybe a space-based weapon, maybe something that we don't really know much about, that's launched by the West, that took out the plane in order to try to blame it on Putin. That's a possibility here. I'm not saying that that's the case. That's one of the possibilities to consider. So the upshot is that right now we don't know who to blame for this. We don't know if Russia did this. We don't know if NATO or the West did this. And we also don't know if it was some saboteur, maybe someone close to Wagner, who maybe was unhappy with whatever's going on with the Wagner group, right? Could have been an inside job. Could have been a disgruntled Wagner, you know, lieutenant or something. I don't think that's the case, but it's just a possibility we have to consider. Now, if it turns out that the Russian government is to blame, which I'm sure that's going to be a narrative pushed by the West. They're going to say Putin did this. Putin assassinated Prigozhin to get back at him for the attempted coup. If that narrative becomes widely believed by the Russian people, it would be very destabilizing to Russia, which is exactly what the West and the CIA are hoping to accomplish. Remember, they paid Prigozhin to run the coup attempt to try to destabilize Russia and depose President Putin. Because, of course, the West has always wanted regime change in Russia. They don't like Russia being led by Putin because Putin refuses to give in and surrender to the West. So you're going to see this narrative push, whether it's true or not, that says that Putin's military fired a ground-to-air missile and took out this plane specifically to assassinate Prigozhin. And it's possible that that narrative might actually be the truth. But regardless of whether it's the truth or not, that's what's going to be pushed by the West. Because, of course, the West propaganda machine, they don't care what's true anyway. It's just whatever they can push. So they're going to push that. The real question is, do the people of Russia believe that or not? Can the people of Russia be told that this is maybe an inside saboteur onboard bomb, or that this was some kind of attack from the West? The question is, what do the people of Russia believe? Because if they believe that Putin did this, then we could see an uprising and mass protests across Russia. And it wouldn't be difficult to see that effort then being leveraged by the CIA and, you know, Western deep state operatives to try to push, again, a color revolution attempt in Russia. Now, the West has been desperately hoping for something that would change the story or change the circumstances. They need something, anything. They're desperate because, of course, Ukraine is not winning this war. Ukraine's so-called counteroffensive, which began over 10 weeks ago, has failed. It's just failed. They haven't taken back the territory they wanted to. They were supposed to be driving all the way to the coast and take back Crimea. I mean, nothing even close to that has happened. And the truth is that the West has run out of ammunition and is running out of equipment, and there aren't enough people trained on the equipment, and Ukraine is running out of young men to throw at the Russian army, which occupies, of course, you know, the southeastern Donbass region and so on. So there's no doubt the West is going to leap on this Prigozhin, let's say, assassination narrative to try to cause an uprising in Russia and try to create a distraction and destabilization politically for Putin. And then when they think that has reached some kind of peak, they may then do one final attempt at a military push against Russia in the Donbass region with, you know, whatever divisions they have remaining, with whatever equipment they have remaining. You know, there's been all this talk recently, we're going to provide F-16s. Well, the F-16s aren't there. Some of those F-16s aren't going to arrive until Christmas of 2024, by the way. There aren't enough people to fly the F-16s. You can't train them fast enough. And frankly, a lot of the Ukrainian pilots don't speak enough English to, you know, appropriately learn how to, you know, to go through the course and actually learn to pilot the F-16 anyway. These aren't even the most modern F-16s that have been promised. None of them have been delivered, as far as I know. And then finally, Russia has very competent air defenses that will take out those F-16s. Oh, and by the way, just as a side note, one of the reasons that the West is so desperate in all of this is because Russia's kamikaze drones called the Lancet 3, which is a double X-wing drone, by the way. It's like something ripped out of Star Wars. It's like an X-wing fighter, but it's got two X-wings. This thing is, it has changed the face of the war. The Lancet drones have been taking out Western equipment like never before. You know, mechanized or self-propelled artillery, anti-air defenses, and even more importantly, they've taken out Leopard 2 tanks, the German tanks, which are supposed to be impervious to drones, and they're not. So for whatever reason, probably because, well, the Leopard tanks have vulnerabilities in the armor. And if you target those with the drone kamikaze attacks, you can penetrate that armor because the drones also carry an armor-piercing explosive round right at, that comes out the nose of the drone. So as the drone is flying into the tank, and you know, these are operated by remote operators using augmented reality goggles. And so it's like they're flying, right? They're flying through the air and they're aiming at the targets and they can maneuver and fly around. And these drones can fly for like 40 minutes and they have, you know, pretty substantial range. I don't know, 40 or 50 kilometers, something like that. And these drones can fly around and they can target the weak side of a tank, for example. They can target the side or the top or whatever happens to be the weakest. I think that's where the Leopards are the weakest, is on the sides and the top. Maybe the back, I don't know. But for whatever reason, the kamikaze drones have been able to take out Leopard tanks, which means that here you have a drone that costs, let's say, maybe $50,000. I mean, I don't know exactly, but that's a good guess. Or maybe it's $75,000. Maybe it's $100,000. Well, what does the tank cost? It costs Germany, you know, millions of dollars equivalent to build a Leopard 2 tank and to train the soldiers. And you know, all the steel and all the industry, which Germany has lost since then. You know, Germany, their industry has been practically shut down because of the loss of Nord Stream, you know, energy infrastructure, which the West destroyed, which then destroyed Germany's economy and shut down Germany's infrastructure and manufacturing. And so Germany can't even really make those tanks in any kind of efficient manner anymore. So regardless of the cost, you just can't replace them. I mean, not on any kind of a timeline that makes sense. It you know, it could take 5 years to start making tanks again, and to actually get them done. But the point is, even the personnel. When you destroy a tank like that, when an armor-piercing round goes through the tank and it blows up inside the tank, it kills everybody typically inside the tank because of the shockwave and the fact they're enclosed and it's a, you know, super hot armor-piercing round that, you know, projects fire and death into the inside of the tank. Normally you don't get any survivors. Well, the drone pilot, though, the drone pilot isn't even expended in this operation because, you know, he's somewhere else remotely controlling this with his augmented reality goggles. So even if he fails, and even if the drone hits the ground or something and doesn't hit the tank, the drone pilot doesn't have to be replaced, whereas the tank crew have to be replaced. So what's happening is with these Landsat drones, there's a Landsat 1 and I think a 2 and then a 3 is what they're using now. The Landsat drones have changed the nature of warfare in Europe, and it's created an asymmetrical warfare capability on the part of Russia where they can expend a very small amount of money and they can damage or take out equipment that the West has to expend enormous amounts of money to manufacture or to replace. So that's what's happening right now. And because the West does not have air dominance over Russian territory, these drones are apparently operating with mostly impunity. No one's stopping them, or they're rarely stopped. And so that's why the West is incredibly desperate for something to change in this dynamic. They need something to change. They need some good news for the West. They need, you know, a revolt in Russia or a revolution, or they need somebody to assassinate Putin or something like that to try to change the game. So you can bet they're going to hop on this Prigozhin death. At least that's what's reported so far. They're going to hop on it in every way possible. So the bottom line is expect massive destabilization and chaos for the next couple of weeks, more than usual, in Ukraine and Russia and with the West and so on. It is notable that gold just popped up about $40 overnight, by the way. Silver went up something like 5%. And I said yesterday, we're going to see gold and silver start to really jump up. And sure enough, it's already begun. We're going to see destabilization across the global financial system with the BRICS nations meeting and, of course, working on global de-dollarization efforts by rolling out their own currency. We're going to see the dollar under increasing, abandonment, not to mention attacks. And then as a result of that, we're probably going to see gold and silver become a lot more interesting to a lot of people. I don't know what's going to happen with crypto. It could be volatile. I suspect we're going to have more economic warfare or currency warfare. China probably dumping more dollars. We may see some banks fail pretty soon. I do believe more U.S. banks will fail by the end of this year. But things are getting very destabilized right now, and we have all this massive desperation by the West to try to change everything right now and take advantage of this and cause chaos in Russia as much as they can. So, you know, buckle up. It's going to get interesting from here forward. All right, now we're going to go to a second special report today, which documents the FEMA cover-up in Lahaina. And why is FEMA so desperate to try to hide the evidence, the photographic evidence and the video evidence? And why haven't the actual deaths, the bodies of the children, why hasn't that been acknowledged? Why are they covering that up? This is some crazy cover-up to not even acknowledge that these people died. And then, you know, they offer some BS explanation like, oh, we have to be culturally sensitive. No, you want to be culturally sensitive, tell the truth. And don't let it be that these children died in vain and nobody knows what actually happened. I mean, that's a cover-up. We need to know the truth. So here's a second special report here about the FEMA cover-up in Lahaina. Special report here on FEMA's cover-up involving Lahaina in Maui. I believe that they've ordered a cover-up. They've ordered all the groups that are there, the nonprofits, the responders, and so on, to take down all photos and videos. The police have been harassing drone operators there. And the government itself is refusing to acknowledge the number of dead. There are still over 1,100 people missing, about half of them children. And yet the government of Hawaii refuses to acknowledge that those children were burned alive. Now, you have to wonder, why are they covering up photos and videos of the carnage? Can you think of any other fire in which they wanted to destroy evidence so quickly, or any other event in which they wanted to destroy evidence so quickly? And of course, one of the answers to that is 9/11 and also Waco, Texas. Why did they want to burn down the compound in Waco? Why did they want to remove all the rubble after 9/11? Why? Because they had to destroy the evidence of the controlled demolition. And in the case of Waco, they had to destroy the evidence that the government sent in men with automatic weapons to gun down innocent women and children who were part of that, you know, religious sect or whatever it was there in Waco, Texas. I forgot what year that was, but I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. It's always about destroying the evidence to cover up the crimes of the government. The same thing, Oklahoma City, you know, 9/11, like I said, Building 7. How about TWA Flight 800? You know, the worse the crime committed by the government, or in the case of TWA 800, that was committed by the U.S. Navy, but the worse the crime, the bigger the cover-up. Same thing with Nord Stream. Who blew up Nord Stream? The United States government with the help of the U.S. Navy. Massive cover-up. They can't let the truth be known. So what is the truth of what happened in Lahaina that they're trying to cover up? And we don't yet know the perfect answer, but it's pointing in the direction of directed energy weapons, DEW. Why do you think they don't want drones to take video footage to analyze the pattern of the fire? Because the more you analyze it and the more people share those videos online, the more it will become apparent that these are not normal fires. Something very strange was happening. The fire appears to have been started through non-natural processes, but also directed. And then on top of that, of course, you know, the sirens were turned off, the water was turned off. And now we just, I was just a guest on InfoWars with Ann Vandersteel, and she had a guest on, I think her name was Janelle or Jeanette from Hawaii, who said that FEMA came in and began interdicting the food supplies that the people were organizing. So when the people get together and try to distribute food to, you know, families and children and single moms and whoever's there that's hungry and starving and needs help, FEMA comes in and takes their food and then makes sure that it goes to waste in order to have more people starving, in order to have a bigger crisis, so they can call in more federal control over the situation and have more feds walking around and more police walking around intimidating people who are trying to help. Now, I got to ask you, in what kind of country do you see the government stopping people from helping each other? And the answer is, oh, a communist country, a fascist country. Those kinds of countries, that's where you see that happen. And that's exactly what you're seeing in the case of what's going on in the United States right now. The government is making the situation worse on purpose, and they're shutting down anyone reporting the truth. Even the local media can't get answers. The police aren't answering questions. The county, the mayor, the Maui officials, and also the Hawaii state officials, as well as the federal officials, none of them are providing any answers, and they're covering up the mass deaths. Now, one of the reasons they're covering up the deaths is because when the people of Hawaii come to realize that 500 of their children were burned alive, and while the fire department was called off and the water was turned off and so on, that the whole thing was engineered, you have a very real possibility of a mass uprising revolt against the corrupt criminal leadership of the state of Hawaii and also the federal government as well. And the last thing the feds want is the people of Hawaii staging some kind of an uprising and demanding answers. So, America has become the Soviet Union, and the press has become Pravda. And now it's all just about covering up the truth, keeping it all quiet so that nobody knows and nobody can see, and the deaths aren't reported, you know, the 500 children plus probably burned alive. No one knows about them, and there will be no images of the bodies of the dead. But of course, whenever the corporate media wants to push images of dead children, you know, remember the whole, was it the white helmets thing in Syria and Afghanistan a couple years ago? And they were claiming that, you know, the Taliban or the Russians were murdering children. You saw all kinds of images of dead children then. When the Western media wants you to see dead children, they show you dead children. Have no illusions. There's no cultural respect for the Syrian children or anything like that. No, they show you dead children when they want you to be mad, when they want to invoke anger. They'll parade dead children's bodies all over the media day and night. But when it comes to dead Hawaiian children that were burned alive by either government engineering or government incompetence, or maybe a combination of those two, then, oh, no, you can't see those images. So probably some enterprising independent media journalist is going to end up getting his or her hands on some of those images and smuggling them out of there. And those are going to get published, or at least some of them will at some point. And we will probably end up seeing some of these across independent media, but you'll never see them in mainstream media, and you're supposed to just pretend that this didn't happen. So 1,000+ lives destroyed, exterminated, many of them turned to literal ash. And the United States government, FEMA, and the Western media are engaged in a massive cover-up to bury the truth of what happened. And I ask you, if there were nothing to cover up, why the cover up? You know, how they always say when they're pushing surveillance and Big Brother technology to keep an eye on you, they're like, oh, if you have nothing to hide, you have nothing to be afraid of. You know, you shouldn't have anything against this. Well, you have nothing to hide. Well, what does the government have to hide in Lahaina? Something big, something massive, because the extent that they're going to cover it up is an indicator of the degree of the crime they carried out against innocent Hawaiian families and children. They've done something horrifying there, and the evidence is obviously discoverable. I mean, they're practically screaming this. They're screaming out, you know, don't look there, which means we should be looking there. So any of you who are in Hawaii or you have access to this location, if you can get in there and you can take photos and videos and get all the footage that you possibly can and post it on all the free speech video platforms, you know, Brighttown.com, for example, or Rumble or wherever else, you post those videos so that the public can begin to put the pieces of the puzzle together and can analyze that video footage. You don't even have to analyze it. Just get raw footage and raw videos and post it and let us know so that we can share those assets with the rest of the world and people can start to analyze it and put it all together. It's kind of like in J6. J6 was also a massive government engineered false flag operation followed by a massive government cover-up where they wouldn't release, you know, the camera footage from that day. Why? Why wouldn't they release the camera footage? Because they carried this out. And they had police officers or Capitol Police as undercover Antifa operators carrying out, you know, some of the violence and property destruction and so on, and whipping up the crowd and trying to create a, quote, insurrection. This was a government operation, probably spearheaded by people like Nancy Pelosi and Senator Feinstein and others, and, you know, the Biden regime and the Obamas and the Clintons, to try to create this narrative that all conservatives and Trump supporters are terrorists who are trying to overthrow the nation. While in reality, of course, it's the Bidens, Obamas, and Clintons who have overthrown the nation and have stolen this nation from the people by rigging elections and carrying out false flags and mass murdering people and covering it up, which is exactly what we're seeing in Hawaii right now. So it's all the same plan. When they run a cover-up, it's because they have something big to hide. And right now, I'm wondering, what's the secret that they desperately want to bury? What is that secret? I bet you there's something right there that would blow this whole thing up, blow up the narrative. It's going to come down to the right person being able to find it and photograph it or videotape it and get it out to independent media, get it over to InfoWars and Alex Jones and his crew, or get it to me or others who are out there, and it's going to blow this whole narrative wide open. So keep digging and keep posting and keep asking questions. Thank you for listening. All right, seriously, folks, we are living behind enemy lines right now in the United States of America, and probably the best hope to dismantle this whole system is Donald J. Trump. I mean, he's probably going to get the Republican nomination, so it's going to be Trump versus whatever puppet the Democrats throw up at the wall to see what sticks. I don't know if that's going to be Joe Biden or somebody else, but it won't be somebody who will, of course, uphold the law, because the Democrats are lawless. And so, you know, they've arrested and indicted Trump, and they've booked him in the jail and everything. And it's all lawless theater, you know, banana republic time in America. It just smacks of desperation and lawlessness. And it just proves to us how corrupt and evil the Democrats are, because if they were doing a good job and if they had the support of the people, they would have nothing to fear from Trump running for reelection, would they? They fear Trump because the Democrats know that the American people have awakened to the Democrat fraud and the Democrat corruption. And the Democrats know they can never win an election if it's a fair election. That's what they know. They've always known that. They've been rigging elections for decades. That's their entire business model for power and money and control, is to just cheat and lie and kill and coerce. That's it. That's the Democrat model. And Trump is their worst enemy right now. And that's why we should support Trump for the nomination of the GOP and help him get through this so he can fight for America. And by the way, also demand from Trump that he divorce Big Pharma along the way, if that's possible. But nevertheless, Trump is the best hope to dismantle the deep state right now. So let's go to a special report I recorded a few hours ago about Trump and Fulton County and the total abandonment of the rule of law by the Democrats across the United States of America. So it is, of course, a complete travesty of justice that Fulton County, Georgia, that they've leveled these criminal charges against Donald J. Trump and Rudy Giuliani and several others as well, and booked them in the county jail. This is clearly banana republic type of behavior. And it's clearly designed to try to prevent Trump from running for office because, of course, the Democrats already realize they can't win in a fair election. Nobody likes the Democrats except a few crazy, insane people. Anybody that actually wants to live in a free country and wants to be able to keep the product of their labor and wants to, you know, protect the border, I mean, they despise the Democrats. And the Democrats know this. They are hated by almost everyone, frankly, who's a real American. So they have to try to, you know, stop Trump from running. But by doing this, you notice they haven't charged Trump with any action that is itself illegal. I mean, if you read the actual charging, you know, the indictment documents, it's things like, oh, he tweeted for people to, you know, tune in and watch the news, or that people reserved a meeting room. And it's a bunch of things like this, or he said this. And so some of these indictments are speech crimes to say, well, we don't like what Trump said. We don't like the fact that he disagreed with the outcome of the election, or really the rigged election, obviously. And so these are, you know, made up crimes. There's no action that's even named in the indictment that is itself a crime. And so what they did in the indictment is they threw conspiracy on top of it. And so they had to create a crime where none existed by calling it a conspiracy. So, for example, if you, let's see, what would be a thing? If you blow your nose in a movie theater. Right? It's not a crime. But if I say that you and 10 other people conspired together to blow your noses in the movie theater, then it's a conspiracy to do something, and then the conspiracy itself is considered the crime because you plotted with people to all blow your noses. That's what this indictment is. It's that all these people that are named, and Sidney Powell and others, they all conspired to do things that are not illegal. They conspired to deny the outcome of the rigged election, right? They conspired to challenge the media narrative. So there's no real underlying crime whatsoever. So these indictments are theater. This is the last desperate attempt by the Democrats to present so much theater, try to make Trump look bad, in the hopes that nobody will support Trump, or that they can say Trump is now a criminal, or just prevent him from running, period. That's all this is. This is all going to get thrown out or overturned eventually. And frankly, I think the Democrats even know that. The Supreme Court wouldn't put up with this for a minute if it ever gets to the Supreme Court, but it probably won't even get that far. So this is all theater. And it's the kind of theater that happens in a banana republic, where you have this illegitimate criminal cartel of traitorous, tyrants at the top, running the government, weaponizing the DOJ, weaponizing everything across the nation, and just selectively prosecuting their political opponents, while of course covering up all the crimes of their own political allies. This is why there are no charges against Hillary Clinton for money laundering in Haiti, or Uranium One. There's no charges against Joe Biden for all the bribery and kickbacks, $20 million from Burisma and others, also involving Hunter Biden, with probably, you know, child prostitution in China and illegal drug possession, all kinds of things. They are never, ever prosecuted while fake crimes are made up against Trump and his allies. But do you realize that if a county, if a DA in a county in America can just all on their own just fabricate indictments against anyone for apparently any reason, then they could do the same to you or I. You know, I could be indicted in Fulton County. The DA could say that I denied the outcome of the election too, because it was rigged, obviously. So yeah, I'm telling you right now, Joe Biden is not the president. Donald J. Trump is actually the president of the United States of America, if you count the actual votes and the legitimate outcome of the election. So I guess I could be indicted as well. And frankly, you know, how many counties are there across America, right? So every DA in every county could just indict anybody at any time for anything and just slap a conspiracy on top of it because, oh, you said you told your friend about it. Now it's a conspiracy. You know, conspiracy is two or more people acting together to do something. Oh, well, you conspired to say the election was a fraud. Or, oh, you conspired to tell people to not get vaccinated. That's a conspiracy. And now suddenly you're indicted in 500 counties. So it makes a mockery of the whole system of so-called justice, which is really a system of injustice. It's a total joke. It's a clown show at this point. But it also brings up the possibility, by the way, that red counties across America, and I forgot who suggested this should start happening, but somebody out there, some prominent person, said they should start doing this. The DAs in the red counties should start indicting Hillary Clinton and Hunter Biden and Joe Biden and, you know, Victoria Nuland and whoever else. Just start indicting everybody in the Biden regime and drag them into your local jails, charge them with conspiracies, and just, you know, play the same game, I guess, that the Democrats are playing. And then, of course, you'd see the Democrats scream, oh, you can't charge the president with these crimes. The president has immunity. Well, but then again, they don't give immunity to Trump. But by the way, Trump actually does have immunity, because as part of the office of the presidency, the only way you can actually be charged with wrongdoing or a crime is through impeachment. That's in the Constitution. And in impeachment, then you're given a trial by the United States Senate. You know, you're impeached by the House, and then you face a trial in the Senate. And did you know that Trump has already faced a trial in the Senate? And he was found not guilty. The impeachment did not succeed. He was quote, impeached in the House, but the Senate did not vote to convict him of that impeachment. That's on the record history. So Trump has already faced trial for whatever so-called crimes that they're accusing him of right now. And you can't charge him twice. He's already faced trial. And by the way, you can't just make up charges against the president of the United States because you don't like his politics. Because if every county across the country did that every time they disagreed with the current president, well, then the president couldn't get anything done at all. Because no matter what they did, whether they're Republican or a Democrat or independent or whatever, there'd be some county out there that said, well, we think that's a crime. And then charge him with a crime and drag the president into the county jail and then, you know, have a jury trial and indictments and all that. You couldn't get anything done. That's why the Constitution offers protections for the head of the executive branch of government. You can't just drag the president into every, you know, court case that you want. And the Supreme Court has already backed up this point that I'm saying. There are many, many precedent-setting cases throughout history where the commander-in-chief, the president, is offered legal immunity. This is one reason why we'll probably never be able to prosecute Joe Biden for his crimes and his money laundering, because as president, he has a certain level of immunity, even though those crimes were committed before he became president, but many of them were as vice president. So he's got, you know, that immunity in place for him there as well. You know, Joe Biden probably never serve a day in prison, sadly, even though, in my opinion, he's a total crook, a tyrant, a fool, and an Alzheimer's patient. A diaper-wearing criminal cartel, I don't know, puppet leader or something. But you can't run a country if every county can just run around charging everybody for everything that they don't like. It's just making a mockery of our entire system of justice. We are living in a banana republic. It's pretty clear they're going to try to cancel the 2024 election. And we're probably headed, as Vivek Ramaswamy says, I think he's the one who said this, that we are headed into a 1776 kind of moment where the American people are going to have to make a choice. You either bow down to tyranny or you stand up and you assert the rights that you have under a representational constitutional republic to elect your leaders, not just to have them chosen and have elections rigged. So the rigging of 2024 will be the final straw for America if it is allowed to succeed. The Democrats will never allow the American people to have a voice again. In fact, the Democrats are right now, at least the government, is involved in murdering American people. Just ask the survivors in Lahaina on Maui. So we are facing, I agree with Ramaswamy, we're facing a 1776 kind of moment. The question is, how does it go down? What happens? And do we emerge victorious and get our country back at the end of this? Or do we all end up in jail, in prison, indicted because we are the political enemies of the regime in power? There's the question of the day. All right. Thank you for listening. Mike Adams here, the Health Ranger, naturalnews.com. Okay, there you go. Three special reports and quite a few headlines today. I do not have an interview for you today, but I plan to have one for you tomorrow. In fact, I've got some very interesting interviews coming up that I think you'll really appreciate. But be sure to, you know, stay tuned to naturalnews.com and independent media tomorrow and watch the videos at brighteon.com. Tune into brighteon.tv because there'll be a lot of analysis from the other hosts there. Check out brighteonradio.com. And if you really want to see the breaking news in near real time, just monitor the feed at brighteon.social because, man, we have a great membership there. People are posting all day long about what's unfolding in the world. And that's really the first place that I find things is right there on brighteon.social. So check that out. And if you want to support us in all of this, of course, we have NAC available at healthrangerstore.com, which is, you know, hard to find, hard to get, and it's under attack by the FDA. So it's good to get this before it is taken off the market because the FDA claims that they might classify it as a drug because apparently some drug company is trying to study it to make it a prescription drug so they could jack the price up 1,000 times and take it off the market and control it and profit from it. And you know, I mean, you know, Big Pharma's model, right? It's so evil. So NAC is available now as a dietary supplement, and we've got it at healthrangerstore.com. We've got the new kombucha pomegranate probiotics product that I mentioned earlier, the single serving powder sticks. Very convenient. You can take it on you with a on an air flight or to the office if you go to the office, or you know, put it in your purse or your pocket, have it in your car. It's very convenient. It's very tasty, and it's just super honest, pure ingredients with no filler, no garbage, no toxic sweeteners or maltodextrin or crap like that. So check all that out at healthrangerstore.com. We appreciate your support. Thank you for listening today, and just stay tuned. We'll have more for you tomorrow, both here at Brightown Broadcast News and then also, of course, on the naturalnews.com website. And pray for America, folks. Pray for America, because we are in the darkest, most desperate hour. I guess starting to quote Princess Leia in Star Wars. This is our darkest hour. Help Obi-Wan Kenobi. Oh, here we can add reverb. Help Obi-Wan Kenobi. That's Princess Leia. Well, okay.
Help Obi-Wan Kenobi. There.
See, I found an actual use for the pitch modification, but that doesn't sound anything like Princess Leia. I'm sorry. But this is our darkest, most desperate hour, and we've got to do something that is, you know, lawful and nonviolent in order to take our country back. And, you know, the establishment is trying to wrap it up so that the only option that people have would be, you know, something else. They want to make sure that you never can vote your way out of the tyranny, because they're going to rig every election. And they want to make sure you can't use the court system, because, of course, the judges are all, you know, rigged, overthrown, controlled. So they've almost locked up the entire system. Not the Supreme Court yet. The Supreme Court may be the saving grace of the United States of America. And this is why we have the, you know, decentralization of power, or the separation of powers, as it's called, you know, the three branches of government, the Supreme Court being a key player in this, that needs to knock some sense back into the Democrats and say, no, you can't just run around and be a lawless, you know, bully and arrest everybody you want by making up conspiracy crimes. No, it doesn't work that way. So pray for America, because we are in real trouble right now, and it's not clear whether the United States of America as a constitutional republic even makes it through this. I'm not sure we do. Maybe too far gone already, but we'll see. All right. Thank you for listening today. God bless you all. Take care.